The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 565, the year-end special. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
There he is. Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Monjoma.
What up?
All right, guys, you already know, final Thursday show of the year. And as we always do, we're going to go through, the usual thing. We're going to talk about biggest gaming stories of the year, our favorite games of the year, our least favorite game of the year. And we're going to look forward to 2026, which is still weird to say, but we are just weeks away from 2026. Without further ado, let's get into it, man. There will be a little further ado. Shout out to this chat. You know, Barry Burton, Logic Wins, you already know. And all the lurkers in there. I see you guys, man. I see you. All right, man. So, yeah, let's start with, biggest stories of the year. And as usual, you know, I asked everybody to select one and a couple of backups just in case somebody else may have already talked about it. I'll start first. For me, the biggest gaming news of the year, and yes, this might be recency bias because it did happen relatively recent, but you know, it's still, to me, I'm like, it's crazy. Even though there's an asterisk to it because of, you know, the RAM situation. But yeah, man, the fucking Steam Machine, man, that was a megaton. Nobody saw that shit coming. You know, when that shit hit, like,
yep,
explosions everywhere. You know, obviously, you have basically, you know, a more powerful Steam Deck you could put under your TV. That's the promise, at least, you know, something people have been asking for a very long time. And yes, obviously, we did have Steam machines before, but this is Vive Valve, not like a bunch of random third-party OEMs and stuff. And, you know, based on what we've seen, yes, it's not going to be ultra powerful. It's supposed to, at least according to Digital Foundry, it's like it sits between an Xbox Series S and a PS5, closer to your PS5 end. But like just what it promises, the convenience, the user interface of, you know, Steam OS and everything seems pretty cool. I like the controller, very nice. But obviously, you know, there's that question mark because what didn't we get with the reveal? We didn't get the price. I'm gonna tell you right now, and I'm saying this confidently, Valve doesn't know how much this shit's going to cost either, because of not, it's not only just the RAM stuff, the tariffs and everything. It's a weird thing, but like I said, you know, hopefully they won't price so many people out, even though we've heard talk that it will be quote unquote priced like a PC, which may have meant something at the beginning of the year, means something completely different now, you know? But yeah, what do you guys think about the Steam Machine?
Yo, man. So, you mentioned, the Steam Machine, you know, got announced. No one was expecting it. And it was, you know, the hype from it at the beginning, you know, it was riding off the good graces off the Steam Deck.
Oh, so yeah.
A lot of people were excited, especially, you know, with Steam OS and all that. So the thing that's interesting for me with that announcement is just how much of the hype died in between the announcement and, you know, a couple of days after, or maybe even a week or two after. After, you know, we've been seeing all these price hikes with RAM and all this stuff, and now it seems like all this hype has been dying down for all of that. Now we haven't gotten the price yet, and you know, they shouldn't announce the price because we don't know what the hell anything's going to cost by the time that shit gets released.
Yeah,
but you know, for me, it's something that I'm happy that Valve is doing it. I'm not personally going to buy one unless it's like really cheap, which I really doubt. But You know, for those that are excited, I'm happy for everyone.
Yeah. Because to me, like, this is not going to happen, obviously, but I'm like, this shit could be $5.99, man. That would be such a sweet spot. But yeah, that's a pipe dream, you know? What about the rest of you guys? What'd you think of the Steam machine?
I mean, at first, it seemed pretty damn interesting. Just the, you know, the pricing question mark is definitely a factor, you know, especially since I've spent money on a PC already. Not looking to spend about $800 or you know, on something like that. So, I mean, again, I do want something to be in the living room.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts on the Steam Machine?
Well, I thought that whole announcement was great. Like, that's the first time I've seen, like, they announced three products, right? The controller, the Steam Machine, and those goggles, you know, the VR stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want all of these things. Like, that's very rare, especially, like, I don't give a shit about VR, but I was like, man, that looks pretty good. I would try that. I would actually do that. I don't know. Now, I want to thank NVIDIA for jacking up the Rare prices. I don't know if I'll be able to do that. But having a Steam Machine in the living room, man, that would be pretty sweet, though. I would like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, I kind of agree with Carlos. Like, yeah, like about a week or two after it was announced, that hype kind of died down, man. And ironically, it was Linus Tech Tips. I kind of started it, you know, because when he brought up, like, because he basically said, you guys should subsidize this and, you know, sell it, you know, cheapish. Like, Valve was like kind of hesitant. But then he came out like about a week after that and then said that he built a PC kind of with similar specs, and he suspects it's going to cost around $700, $800, which is less than what he predicted, but still a lot. But yeah, again, we don't know. Like, I think the smartest thing was to not say how much it's going to cost, because the price is going to change. We have no idea how much or anything's going to cost now, you know?
Yeah. I would think, though, that some of the drastic price changes of certain hardware, you know, which somebody may have on their list here, might have been the sign that something was coming. Because we have never seen anything like that, where all of a sudden you take a console and all of a sudden, poof, it's all of a sudden, what was it, $50 or $100 more?
Yeah, both. You know, I'm pretty sure somebody's going to bring that up later, but yeah, it's been a wild time when it comes to hardware. But yeah, that's my big story for the year. So I'll go down the line. You know, Chris, we'll go with you next, man. What do you think was one of the biggest gaming stories of the year?
I think there's a couple. I think watching the fall of Ubisoft, I think the number of L's that we talked about this year culminates in one big, like, massive failure. Like, And the writing was on the wall. When they started butting up to Tencent, when Tencent got a seat at the table, putting money to get on the board, I was like, that's it. Now, it's just, Ubisoft's just on life support. Like, they exist in name only. I don't think there's going to be anything left of them come next year. I think Tencent rolled up that studio. I forgot the name of it. The one that took all the Tom Clancy stuff and Assassin's Creed and Far Cry, which is all they really care about. It's like they care about that money generation. They're going to take the rest and auction it off. Like Just Dance and all that stuff. They don't care about that stuff. They're going to get rid of it. Arguably, that some of that stuff made money. I think Just Dance still sells well, but you know, they don't want
it. Yeah.
So they're gonna just pick apart what they don't want, roll up their studio, rename the thing, and that's all you're going to get. Assassin Slop and, you know, whatever Tom Clancy stuff. Pick your pick with Tom Clancy slop.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It's been an interesting year for them, because, you know, that was one of the running jokes of Throwdown this year. You know, the weekly Ubisoft L. There were so many L's, man. But some of the biggest, or one of the biggest, was, you know, Assassin's Creed Shadows. And what was interesting about that is, like, you knew that was going to be a hot mess from the jump. Because remember, the Assassin's Creed Shadow Saga didn't start this year. It was started last year. It was supposed to actually come out late last year. It kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. Obviously, the whole thing with, you know, with Sasuke being, like, shoehorned in there and everything. But what I found really interesting was basically how, you know, you had the games media trying to tell you how successful the game was. Remember, what was the shit they had? 3 million players? Like, oh, look at that. You fucking chuds. You guys were wrong. This game's a success. And then, like, 2 months later, right? You know, oh, Ubisoft's up for sale. It's like, okay, if Assassin's Creed was so successful, why the fuck are you selling off parts of your company? You know? So that was very interesting. And now looking at them, like you said, they're like, all you have left is just like the scaffolding. You know, it's like, it's not even like the main thing. So I agree. I think by next year, I don't know if they're going to be done, but like Ubisoft, I mean, they're already not a company that you recognize, but it's going to be like even lower for them, you know? I feel sorry for Adam, you know, the Division. We'll see what happens. We may have the Division 3 Saudi Arabia edition or some shit, you know.
And things haven't been the same since it got out of New York.
They got out of New York. Yeah, man. So, yeah, what do you guys think about Ubisoft?
Yeah, I mean, we still haven't gotten our what's it called, Beyond Good and Evil 2. We still haven't gotten, what's it called, oh, my God. I can't believe I'm forgetting the stealth game.
Oh, Splinter Cell.
We still haven't gotten a Splinter Cell. You know, with the rabbits and what the people want, they're not providing, man.
Yeah.
And you know, if they want to keep doing Assassin's Creed, that's fine. Some people, you know, play it, so that's good for them. But you know, there's a couple of games that, you know, they haven't really tapped into that I feel like would make, you know, the fans happy. They did make a Prince of Persia game. What was it, last year?
Yeah, well, we got to talk about Prince of Persia because they fucked up with that one.
Yeah, so as far as Ubisoft, they've really been. I mean, for me, like, you know, this year we made it a point to count all the L's and stuff. But Ubisoft, man, they've been taking L's since forever. I mean, they've lost faith with me ever since freaking Watch Dogs.
Yeah. Yeah,
Watch Dogs 1, that is.
Yeah, by the way, that Prince of Persia game you talked about, The Lost Crown, that came out early last year, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy,
yeah,
right?
So it's been a while. Yeah. Been a while.
No, you're right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they've been fucking up. And then, Carlos, since you brought up Prince of Persia. Okay, so they had the remake of Santa Time. They scrapped it to start over again. Then they come. Here's the thing. When they first showed that, people were like, oh, this looks horrible. What the fuck happened? Now that version looks way better compared to the new version they have now, which looks awful. Like, how did you downgrade a downgrade, bro? It's crazy, man. I think
you wanted to put it on the PS4, probably.
You know, yeah. Ubisoft is UB done. You know, like that's
they're it. They're gonna get sold to some folks. You know, to the obvious suspects.
I'm telling you, man, my friend, you want Prince of Persia?
You like to play with dragons?
That's it. He's going to be the Prince of Arabia, my friend. Go ahead, Chris.
No, you guys, we're saying the same thing. It's just that Tencent only wants the big moneymaker action IPs, right?
Yeah.
And then, Saudi Arabia would buy Just Dance. It's like, all of a sudden, you're riding camels in the Division. Who knows what happened? Salvatore Ganacci's doing the music. It's
great. Freaking Fernando, you know, Ronaldo, whatever.
Ronaldo. Ronaldo.
It's crazy, man.
Soccer balls.
Yeah, right? That fucking falafels and shit. It's crazy, man. Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to jump in, say anything about Ubisoft?
Yeah, I would like to. I agree with what everything that Chris said, but I will also add to the L's, you have to mention the people that left Ubisoft and had a lot of success this year. Expedition 33, since there's some former Ubisoft people working on that game. So clearly, Ubisoft was taking all types of L's.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Expedition 33 itself is a Ubisoft L. Huge Ubisoft L, you know? They left fucking Ubisoft. They created the game that won Game of the Year. Like, okay. What does that tell you? It's crazy. Manny, what were you going to say?
Oh, no. I was just going to say pretty much what Rich was going to say. So,
wasn't there another game company that left Ubisoft that they did pretty well for themselves? Or at least ex-devs of Ubisoft? I could be wrong about that. But Expedition 33.
Dispatch was a bunch of
that's
the studio. Yeah, okay. they were former Ubisoft as well.
There you go. And that's another critically acclaimed game, you know. That's a big Ubisoft L for sure. All right, let's move on here. Let's pick here. Carlos, what's your big game story of the year?
This is a short and sweet one.
Uh-oh.
But it means a lot. And it was everyone saw it coming. Everyone. Except a couple of folks from a certain fan base. Halo going to PlayStation 5 announced.
Oh, you know, man.
It's officially official. They even have it in the store. PlayStation announces it as well. Put it in, you know, they tweet it out. It's like, yo, pre-order the Combat Evolved remake here on PlayStation. It's like, if you told me this 15 years ago, I would have been like, what the hell are you smoking? This is some crazy ass timeline you're talking about. Oh no, it's real. You know, we talk about ever since the homie Harambe, you know, took one for the team. Everything's gone downhill, man. That karma is down low, and Halo is now going to be on PlayStation in 2026. It is it's crazy times, man. Not that, you know, I'm against it or anything. It's just conceiving this thought, growing up as a super Halo fan, you know, it's like Tony thinking Sonic was going to be on a Nintendo system in the 90s.
Crazy, man. You know,
so, yeah, that's mine.
Yeah, no, that's a big one. And it's funny because, you know, we were talking about this for a while because obviously we've had all these Xbox games dropping on PlayStation, right? For like 2 years now. And we're like, hey guys, you know, Halo's coming, right? Motherfuckers were still holding out hope. So when it finally did happen, ooh, they were not happy at all, man. Twitter acted exactly as I thought, you know, and then Xbox guys started infighting with each other. It was hilarious. But yeah, no, even like 5 years ago, this would have been inconceivable, you know? But, you know, when everything's an Xbox, that also includes a PlayStation, doesn't it? It's crazy, man. Crazy stuff. What about the rest of you guys? What do you think of Halo 5? The third pillar, the final pillar, you know, because we had Gears of War come out this year too, you know?
Yes, we did.
So, yeah, what do you guys think about that? You know, basically all the big three are now on PlayStation.
It's such a big deal, right? Like where you thought, oh man, you'll never would ever see them jump onto a PlayStation, you know, but then even like, you know, the little bits and pieces, oh no, some games will come over, not others. Seems like everything else is coming over too. So, I mean, you know, you can't deny it. I mean, the majority of people are on a PlayStation. So put some more games on there. Maybe you can make some money.
Yeah. I mean, if Xbox isn't selling hardware or games, put it on the competition.
Mm. Yeah.
So many by the big three, are you referring to Halo, Perfect Dark, and Fable?
I'm talking about the other big three.
Yeah. No, Gears of War is now finally on. And it's funny, that one kind of came and went, didn't it?
It did. It came with actually no fanfare or anything. Probably the reasoning why is because they didn't do anything to it. They just ported it over to the PlayStation and just called it a day. It's not getting like a HD remaster like the, you know, or, you know, a redo like like Halo is.
Like, it got a little bit of a polish, but nothing substantial. It's Gears of War Ultimate, bro, you know?
Yeah, it's whatever Gears of War Ultimate was, but maybe a couple little bits of bells and whistles. It runs a little bit it runs better, you know, stuff like that, but that's about it.
Yeah, no, nothing substantial. That's why Adam was upset. Why isn't it a collection?
Why isn't it the Ultimate Edition?
Because they want to sell people. They want to sell you all of those games over again at piecemeal. So they're going to do a Gears of War, you know, 2 and 3 and 4 version of that thing too. But maybe judging by the way how badly it did, maybe they might rethink any of those plans.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing about that whole situation is, especially with Adam, like, I understand his point, but I don't understand why he's so pissed about it, because he already has the Ultimate Edition.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Adam owns every version of Gears, so yeah. He doesn't need to buy that. He's already beaten the game, like, you know, left, right, and crooked, so.
Yeah. Is actually, I have a question. Yeah. Is E-Day announced for PlayStation, or not has yet. It been announced for
not
PlayStation?
Yet. It will be.
I mean, also, it's also a good, it's a good little marketing thing, right? You know, okay, we just put out Gears of War 1, right? And E-Day is literally a prequel to that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Crazy. Yeah. But what about the rest of you guys? Halo on PlayStation, man. Were you as shocked? I heard a rumor that the day that was announced that Rich sold his Xbox. He was so furious.
Uh-oh.
If you're talking about somebody named Kid Smooth, that's not possibly what you mean. He probably did that. But no, because I actually covered the game. I was talking about the game on the website, the Coalition Gaming channel. So I will say this. I do agree with a lot of what was said. I fully believe that E-Day is coming to PlayStation. By the way, Xbox is having a showcase event next month. They didn't announce the day, but sometime in January, and they're supposed to be talking about all of their first-party games because, you know, next year is the huge anniversary for Xbox, so they got all these games they're dropping. So Gears has been mentioned multiple times. They've been teasing that, the Coalition. Not us, the other Coalition. They have been teasing that game, that they're going to talk more about that game. So I would imagine they're going to talk about that at, you know, this event. So we have to stay tuned for that. But to go to what was already said, it was very, very interesting to see the reaction when Halo finally got announced that it was coming to PlayStation. And I don't know if you guys have seen any of the videos or marketing for PlayStation talking about their 2026 games. Well, they included Halo in that as well. And when I saw that, I said, that's I know people was mad about that. I saw some people complaining on Twitter. So there you go.
That's funny, man. It's over, guys. I said it's like the console wars officially dead. It's a wrap. You could put down your controllers, go home, your families, the war is done, you know? You peace. Peace be upon you and all that. Oh, man. All right. Let's move on here. Manny, what was the biggest story that you want to talk about?
The acquisition of EA by the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund.
Fuck.
That is crazy that, again, like there's so much money that flows through them. Where they could just literally just outright buy a whole company, literally pay off all the investors. I think they own the majority share of it.
Yeah, that's what it was. Right? Yeah, they owned
the money. There's no more shares. They bought. They took it private. So you had to pay. Oh,
okay, so they took it all private. So it doesn't even matter. They totally bought it off the market and took it all private. Insane that they could that happen. So the thing is, now the big question becomes, it's like, what's going to happen? Are they just going to be like, just make games? Or are they going to be like,
make games.
Salvador Vinacci's got to be in this game.
I mean, that's what they did with Fatal Fury, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, also Salvador Vinacci is also, you know, there's the FIFA license, but there's the, you know, that whole... whatever they, you know, they sort of made a soccer game that's not called FIFA, but it has all the teams in it.
Yeah, FC, yeah.
FC, yeah. So, you know, what if after that situation, so I was like, nah, they're like, nah, we want it to be a FIFA game now. They got the money to blow on it. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, that one was crazy. I feel like it's inevitable that, you know, we talk about inevitabilities with Halo. It's like, these companies, we've been talking about EA selling and Ubisoft selling for years now. And Activision sold, Bethesda sold. I'm pretty sure a couple of other ones sold. What's it called? The one that was Square Enix, Eidos.
Yeah,
Eidos sold. Like, you know, they started off the whole Embracer Group. You know, remember they got a huge investment from, I think, similar type group. So... They've been, you know, invoking themselves into the gaming industry along with other stuff. But, you know, in terms of the gaming industry, it was inevitable for them to purchase someone. EA is going to be their first big fish. Honestly, EA's on the downhill. Like, I don't know. FC is a huge game. Maybe that'll keep them afloat. Madden is a pretty big game. I'm pretty sure they have some other stuff, but they, you know, it's usually just their recurring franchises that generate money. They don't really make new games anymore like they used to. And BioWare, I mean, we've talked at length about them. They might be a sunk cost at this point. I feel like out of all the potential buyers for this type of company, that's probably one of the least we would have wanted it to happen. But at the end of the day, I think most of us in this call aren't really the biggest EA fans. Adam's probably the only one that's an actual EA fan. So we kind of couldn't care less about, you know, EA at this point.
And it's sad because I remember like back in probably 2010 or so, EA probably was one of my favorite companies. They had a bunch of shit I liked, you know, Burnout, Mass Effect, Dead Space, a bunch of cool stuff. Now either these franchises don't exist anymore, haven't been released, or just shells of what they used to be. And speaking about Dragon Age, yo, I saw a physical copy of it. Dragon Age Failguard, by the way, $5. You can't even give this game away, you know? That's how bad it is. So it's like, what is Saudi buying? You know, it's like they're buying like like Ubisoft is just a husk of what they used to be, you know? Not scaffolding. That's not the word I'm looking for. Like the frame. That's all they're buying. Like they're not buying all the things that made it EA, you know? It's crazy. Like, oh, EA went independent or whatever, you know, they're not probably traded. Oh, that's cool. Wait, who bought them? Like, yo, that was a crazy flip.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that was a wild story. And, you know, them, Ubisoft, it makes you wonder who else is going to, you know, go down. Let's see. Apparently BioWare pitched a Dragon Age 1 remaster, and EA said no. Yeah, that's smart. You know, like, yeah, Ubisoft, yeah, and EA, or in this case, stupid. All right, anybody else want to say anything about the EA situation? All right, we'll move on to Rich. What's one of a story you thought was big for gaming this year?
All right, well, let me say first and foremost, you guys had some excellent choices thus far. So I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction. I'm going to say one story that I would say stood out this year to me is that this clearly was the year of the ninja. Because so many ninja games, you know, we had, of course, Ninja Gaiden Ragebound, you had Ninja Gaiden 4, you had Shinobi Art of Vengeance.
Yep.
That game is absolutely fire. And it was great to see that. And again, I know Sega is also attached to that because they're trying to revive a lot of their other franchises. So we saw Shinobi. I look forward to seeing these other ones that we were promised in the future because we haven't heard nothing else about those games recently. So. But no, I thought it was great because a lot of these games I remember playing a long time ago, especially Shinobi and stuff. So to see it return and to see it be so many of those type of games return this year, I think that definitely stood out and made this year, at least for the action-oriented games, it felt like it was something different.
Yeah.
So
no, I agree with that. And you know, just like I played all three of those games, and especially with the 2D ones, they definitely gave you that old feel, you know? I may talk about some of those games later on when we talk about our favorite games of the year. But yeah, no, fantastic. Ninja Gaiden 4 was like great. It was actually better than I expected. Like it wasn't perfect, right? Like I said, I thought the story was pretty stupid. The characters were just nonsensical. But I don't care about that. The action was fucking fantastic, you know? And I hope that game kind of heralds the resurgence of more action games like it, because it's just been Soulsborne games taking over the conversation for like the last 5 years. Not that I have a problem with those games necessarily, but I'm like, I want the pure action game stuff, you know? It's like, why can't we have both, you know? that's definitely a good one. And I'm pretty sure there were some other ninja games. I mean, well, what about your favorite, Rich? Assassin's Creed Shadows. That was a ninja game too.
Oh, ninja game.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, with the girl, right? Like half a ninja game.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a samurai game, obviously, but, you know, Ghost of Yote, right? Oh, man.
Oh, absolutely. That was that. And I look forward to hearing Carlos talk about that later, because I know that's on his list of the games he enjoyed most this year. So.
Me too.
Yeah, I know. But did anybody else get a chance to play any of these games? Because I'm like, I only really heard me and Rich talk about these three.
Well, no, I wanted to.
Oh, you guys are same talking. Here. Okay, well, you guys play Rage Bound? That's good. Yeah, Rage Bound is awesome, man.
Yeah, that's good. I just got, because I remember Rich talking about Shinobi that was on my list. I just picked it up the other day. But I played Cosmic Invasion before that.
Nice.
I wanted to finish it. And now I'm going to play Shinobi.
Yeah, you'll like Shinobi. And yeah. To me, Rage Bound probably had the best soundtrack of the year, man. Like, every fucking track was just killer, you know? Good stuff. All right, and Brian, what's a big gaming story you want to talk about from this year?
The one that we all sort of knew was going to happen, given how things just weren't moving, well, they weren't moving that way, is the price hikes of all the consoles.
Oh, fuck.
The fact that none of these consoles got a price cut ever since launch was probably like the first nail that something was going wrong, and then all of a sudden Xbox gets a price hike, and then PlayStation gets a price hike, and then Xbox again gets a price hike. It's just like, what is going on here? Like, this is going the wrong way. And then now with the RAM issues, I don't see the price cuts even coming anytime soon, or even at all. Like, this may be the first console generation where the consoles end up costing more than when they did at launch.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Like, this has never happened before. It's a sad state of affairs. And like you said, this may not be the end. We're already hearing rumors that, you know, the Xbox may get another price hike, you know. And if it's funny because, like, I don't know if you guys saw, you know, the recent report from Circana. Console sales were the lowest for November that they've been since 1995.
Oof.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is crazy, you know? And I'm like, how low can you go? it is insane, man. And it's funny because the first, like, system that we saw this happen with, and this was way before the tariffs and the RAM stuff, was the MetaQuest. Like, that was the first product I remember where it went up in price but didn't get any upgrades, and at the time we're like, oh, that's kind of weird. And then slowly but surely we started seeing it happening, but it really picked up big time. And again, I still maintain my theory, tinfoil headband, if you will, that these companies were like, hey, you know what, yeah, maybe the tariffs are gonna cost us more to manufacture some of this stuff, but we could really use it to jack up price, you know, because you can't tell me that Microsoft, Sony, or whatever motherfuckers talk about record profits, right? And then, oh wait, but now we got to raise the price because it costs us too much. But you had record profits. Like, which is it? You're hurting for money or you're not? You know. So that's why I think this whole thing is BS. And like we've said many times, you know, because their favorite quote of the year, or excuse me, favorite saying of the year, market conditions, current market conditions, right? Now, you would think that current market conditions goes both ways, right? Current market conditions means things may go up or they go down. They never go down. It's always up. These console prices are not going back down, which is crazy, you know? And this may be something we talk about next year. It's like, hey, these consoles got delayed because who the fuck is going to want to release a console with this craziness going on? As a matter of fact, I'm even hearing rumor. I reported on this, that even the Steam Machine, which was slated for spring, may get delayed, right? Because of these fucking RAM prices. Valve does not want to release a machine that's going to cost a crazy amount of money. I don't think anybody does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, I'm hearing, I have to be very careful with what I'm saying, but I've seen others report it, so I'm free to kind of speak about it. But, you know, I have spoken with sources. We're going to start seeing more PCs with 8 gigs of RAM. Uh-oh. Starting price, yeah. You know, starting. That is crazy.
Here's the thing. I mean, you put Windows 11 on a system with 8 gigs of RAM, it's practically unusable.
Yeah.
There's no way
that's
going to work.
Bro, when I first started writing for Tom's Guide, this is 4 years ago now, you know, that I was asked, you know, write article about explaining what RAM is to people. And in the article, I explicitly said, unless you're really hard up for money, do not buy anything with less than 16 gigs of RAM. And now look what's happening 4 years later, you know? Fuck, man. It's like, you think things are bad now, they're about to get a lot worse, you know? So yeah, that's a good one. What about the rest of you guys? What are your thoughts on these consoles going up in price?
Oh man, that is not the way to, you know, again, like obviously they're doing it because of the market conditions, which they probably knew what was, where it was all going beforehand, especially with all the investment in AI and all that other garbage. So yeah, I don't know how they're expecting to sell anything. You know, again, why are you selling a five-year-old console for $50 or $100 more?
Yeah, it's $50 to $100 depending on the system.
No, there's nothing that they're offering on these things that can even justify. They're not even giving, well, besides, you know, obviously Astro's Playroom that's already on the damn thing, but they're not giving you something else to at least sweeten the deal. Nothing. You literally could put Astrobot on there, both games. Try to make this thing at least worth the amount of money that you're spending on it.
Yeah. And you know, that's been the ongoing story of this whole generation, were the games. You know, we've had some games, sure, but like even the best games that we've gotten are not anywhere near the quality of the games we used to get. That's why we have so many remakes and remasters now, right? And so it's like, so you're spending $100 extra on a machine to either play mediocre games or shinier versions of games you've played before. I don't know about you, man, but that doesn't sound like a good deal to me. You know, it's crazy. All right. A couple other things here. Cause I did make a little list here of some things in case we didn't, I think everybody went, right? I think we went.
Yeah, everybody went.
Yeah,
I also have an extra one.
Yeah,
too,
go ahead. Yeah, I'll
let you go first.
No,
throw it on there.
Yeah, no. I'll do it. Because you may cover it. I'm gonna do a slight, rapid round here.
Rapid fire.
Yeah. And if Adam was here, we'd be talking about this part for 30 minutes. Fall of Duty, I'm calling it.
Oh,
this was the year where Call of Duty finally fell. You know, as of right now, it's looking like, you know, it probably won't end up doing it, but Battlefield is selling better than Call of Duty. That sentence alone is crazy, you know? Now, obviously, that situation may change, you know, within a week or two, but, like, people are not happy with the new Call of Duty. We've all seen the clips. It looks absolutely insane. Even Adam's like, this isn't it. This isn't the one, you know? That's how you know it's real. So, yeah, it finally happened. And now it's gotten to the point where the company is like, we're going to stop with yearly Black Ops and Modern Warfare. That doesn't mean they can't sneak in another Call of Duty in there. You know, they had that little loophole in there. But just the fact they're even mentioning that is wild, you know? And the other one I wanted to bring up, and then maybe you can go after this, because we have an episode, we talked about this. It is significant because it was the biggest. This was the game. Okay, if you guys go back November, you're like, why weren't there any games? Because something was expected in November and it got delayed. GTA 6 delayed again. Delayed again, you know? Now it's expected like, what, November of fucking 2026? And we'll see about that, you know? Please correct me if I'm wrong about that date. I'm kind of just pulling it out of my ass here.
I think we got an exact date, right? If I recall.
We got an exact date the first time too. I think we got another exact date. You're right. Can you look that up, please? I want to make sure that's correct.
November 19th.
November 19th. Yeah. But originally, what was the other one, Carl? It was like May something, maybe
March. Something like that.
Something like that. But they gave an exact date, and dudes were saying they gave an exact date. That means it's not going to be delayed. I'm like, hey, listen, man. GTA games always historically get delayed at least twice, man. This is the twice. So, yeah, that was huge, and it disrupted everything. Because, again, the reason you didn't see any new games or barely any new games in November was because everybody thought GTA was going to drop. Nothing. So that was wild, you know? All right, so that's what I got, man. Manny, what's the other stuff you wanted to bring up? And I'm going to go around the room, see if anybody else wants to throw in anything else, too.
Hades, Hollow Knight, Silk Song, Clara Obscura, Expedition 33, Blueprints, and were incredible breakout hits. All independent games, all hitting these insane numbers.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the kind of return of the... Some of those are indie, but some of those are middle, you know, which is good.
I mean, yeah, Clair Obscur is an indie game, but it is a middle A, you know, sort of budgeted title. And then obviously, Hollow Knight, the Silk Song, which essentially was so in demand that literally it caused all these waves across the industry where, you know, obviously where Brett was like, oh man, they were telling them all you guys need to charge more because we're, you know, at the same level and you shouldn't be doing all of this. So yeah, it's a lot of big things in there. So it's nice to see that, you know, the little guy getting out there and getting there and making some serious numbers. So yeah.
Did you have Arc Raiders in there? Because I would consider that another one. It's like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Oh, yes. I didn't have Arc Raiders in there, but yes, Arc Raiders as well.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a story for this year. Like, these games that people weren't really too excited about or even knew about, they just came in. Look at Expedition 33. Fucking swept the Game Awards, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a good sign. And it goes to show, it's like, you know, if the big guys are failing, you're going to have to depend on the little guy, which is good.
I mean,
you know,
that was what the industry sort of was back in the day, though.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't all just these big companies. There were a lot of little companies making games that could actually do it. Like, you know, well, I mean, not EA, but like any of those, like a lot of older titles that were just like, okay, it was just a few guys in a room deciding to make a game. So, you know, it's nice to see a sort of return to that. And, you know, again, with the Expedition 33 and, you know, I think Arc Raiders, it's also like you can make a game that looks on par with a lot of the things that are out on the market currently.
Yeah.
You know, like the big guys.
No, you're 100% right about that. Go ahead, bro.
I just imagine Guillemont be like, you know, these guys made Expedition 33 in a cave.
That's right. Oh, man. But yeah, what about the rest of you guys? Any other like stories that you feel, you know, were big this year? Anybody could jump in.
I think a lot of them got the Switch 2 released.
That's right. Yeah, that was pretty big.
Yes.
You know, and even though sales kind of tapered off a little bit, it was a pretty high selling system. It like sold a lot in the first 3 days specifically. I remember it like set records and shit.
Yeah, I think they were talking about they're potentially hitting 15 million by the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get to that, which is crazy. Yeah, the sales have been really good. I don't know, recently, I think the last time I saw it, it was like over 10 million.
Damn.
And Japan is going ham for this, because every time someone posts on the Discord, it's like Famitsu, Japan sales of the week, 100,000 for the Switch 2. It's like, goddamn.
Fuck. All right. So, yeah, Carlos, and this is from Nintendo themselves. They have sold 10.3 million units so far.
Yeah. And I think those numbers are like from September or something like that.
Yeah. So November. So they're on. Yes, you're right. As of September 30th, and it sold 20 million units of software. Then the Switch, the original, 154 million. That's a lot.
Well, think about this. That may slow down. Their DRAM prices from their supplier have jumped 40%.
Fuck.
And that's only a recent hike. So, and Nintendo doesn't eat the cost of anything. If they start raising the prices of the Switch 2 here and abroad, that number will cap way below 50. So we'll see what happens. I don't think they're going to eat that cost. There's no way. Eventually, you know, in a month or two, they're going to have to announce a price hike.
Oh, man. When that's going to be one of the big stories of next year when that happens. I think because you're right. Yeah. Like everybody else has announced a price hike. They haven't yet.
Yet.
Yeah. I'm only on the regular Switch.
Yeah. On the Switch, yes, you're right. The regular Switch they did, which is also insane. How old is that system? 17, you know?
17, yeah.
What world do we live in, bro? Shit.
It's crazy, man. Also, I have another quick thing to mention, and Manny kind of brought it up too. Hollow Knight being $20 after all that hype, it's like one of those stories where you see in the industry, and you're like, hey, there's still hope for us. You know, like,
yeah,
they could have charged easily $40 for this, easily, and people would have still bought it in droves. But no, they sold it for $20 and yeah, free DLC.
And some developers weren't happy about that. They were like, oh, they're undercutting us. Like, okay, guys, like, fuck out of here with that bullshit. All right, any other random stories you guys want to bring up? All right, I guess that's it. So now we'll move on to the next section, which is our top three favorite games of the year. And then we'll follow that up with our least favorite or most hated game of the year. So I'll start first. So, and this is, I don't know, it's interesting because going into this year, I was like, Monster Hunter Wild's easy fucking win. And for a while it was, but as the months went on, you know, kind of the luster kind of faded, you know, like, and then some of the things we kind of forgave for a little bit started popping up more, especially how fucking easy the game was initially, right? And it's just, it didn't live up to what it was, man. So I'll give that game an honorable mention, but it's like, it doesn't have the legs, man. Like, I'll try to go back and see what's up. But like, we were expecting a Monster Hunter world situation, and it was not that at all, man. You know, so that kind of disappointing, but you know, it should have been number one, but it isn't. I think by default, this is going to shock some people. Actually, you know what? I'll save number one for last. I will do this in order. So my number three, I'm going to go in descending order. My number three will be, even though a lot of people didn't, you know, care for this game, not that they didn't care for it, they just didn't talk about it, but I enjoyed it. Doom the Dark Ages, man. I love that whole medieval vibe going on. Very brutal, you know, no bullshit game. I enjoyed all the unlockable stuff, the exploration, the fast-paced combat. Like, you didn't have all the crazy platforming that a lot of people didn't like from the previous game. This was just straight up kill shit, like original Doom. So that was very cool. I enjoyed that a lot. My number two, and we already talked about it, Shinobi Art of Vengeance. Love the art style, man. Like, you know, the whole lizard cube shit, that was dope. Great combat, lots of unlockables, tough as fuck, you know. That last boss, man, that was brutal. It was fun. Like, I was like kind of going back and forth between this one and Ninja Gaiden Rage Round, which is also good, but Shinobi just had a little bit more, you know. So that was enjoyable. And then my number one, again, shock to me, because it's a Nintendo game, Pete.
Ooh, banana.
It's Mario Kart World. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Yeah, Donkey Kong Bonanza, man. What a fun game, you know? What I enjoyed about it is, it's like, I've never really played a platforming game like that specifically. Because what's the whole aim of platforming, right? You know, like, you're going forward, you're going, you know, like horizontal. This one is, you're going down. You know, it's like the whole, like, it's like kind of like Dante's Inferno, right? You got to keep going to the core, you know. The game was already really fun, you know, because you're breaking shit, you're like redoing everything as you want. That was already great. But that fucking like third act, man, I'm not gonna spoil anything, but that was great. That's what sent that shit over the top to me. I'm like, this is fucking amazing. The way they just, because the question, you know, as you're playing the whole game, it's like, when does this take place in the timeline? What's going on here? And you get that answer. You get it in a glorious way. Fucking great. You know, not only is the game fun, but if you're like, you know, if you really like that original Donkey Kong, and even actually just the original Donkey Kong Super Nintendo games in general, lots of callbacks, great game, no bullshit, you know? So those are my top three. Let's go for Chris. What are your top three games of the year? And an honorable mention too.
Well, Ninja Gaiden Rage Bound, that was great.
Yeah, yeah.
That was excellent. even though I didn't quite get into it, it wasn't for me. I did try to play Elden Ring Nightreign.
Oh, yeah.
I tried my best to get into to it. I couldn't handle the Battle Royale, like the stage shifting shit. That shit pissed me off. That's why I rage quit that shit. I couldn't do it. I tried to do networking and didn't work. So, but I mean, it has some great features, and I know there's plenty of people who played it and liked it. So I give it an honorable mention. Because I love my Souls games, but it's just not for me. I just couldn't. I couldn't hang with the Battle Royale situation. I hate that gameplay. So I'm just like, I'm out. I'm done. What else did I platinumed the Secret of the Mimic. I did like that game. It's it's one of the Five Nights at Freddy's games. I did like the mechanic. It's a lot of stealth. It's a lot of sneaking around, trying not to get killed by this fucking robot while you try to find out what happened in this this factory. And I like the story. It was good. You're not just. It's not like so when people hear Five Nights at Freddy's, they think, oh, you're just sitting in an office looking at screens and like pushing buttons. No, this one you move around. You can get killed. The thing is like trying to hunt you down. And you don't have a gun or anything. You can't fight back. So you have to be very clever how you get around. I did enjoy that game. Shit, what else? God damn. And Tony already said it, Doom the Dark Ages. I enjoyed it. Fantastic. I like the tanking. I like the movesets, the special kills he has. And I enjoyed it. I'm honestly, I guess I'm getting old. I am totally confused by what the hell is going on in the Doom guys universe at this point. I'm just like, there's factions and, you know, he's in a ship and they beam him down and he breaks out of it. I was like, where did we get here? How did we get here? I thought this was just, you know, a space marine and shit goes bad and hell opens up, but there's like drama going on and it's like, is a love interest? I'm like, oh, okay, this is a little much for me. I just let me kill shit. But I still enjoyed it. I love that game.
Yeah, man, that was a lot of fun. By the way, real quick, before I go to the next person, I want to read what some of the chat is saying. The homie Jeffrey Wilson says for him, his three favorite games were Fatal Fury, Shinobi, and Donkey Kong. Oh, I didn't know you played Donkey Kong. That's pretty dope.
Oh, nice.
And Logic Wins, his three are Expedition 33, that's his number one, Oblivion Remastered, number two, and number three was Mafia: The Old Country. Good stuff.
Damn. Yeah, I didn't even know that Oblivion Remastered was this year.
Yeah.
Feels like forever ago.
I purposely left out remasters and remakes. If I included them, my list would have been a little different. I'll just say that. Because, like, I think, honestly, the game I really, really enjoyed the most is probably fucking Final Fantasy Tactics out of everything, you know? That was a lot of fun. Anyway,
I mean, you could have tossed it as an honorable mention.
No, I just wanted to be clean about it, like no remakes or remasters. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe we'll do a separate category next year. Oh man. Well, Manny, since you were talking, what were your three favorite games of the year?
I mean, didn't get to play a whole lot, but you know, I did get some fun stuff in there. My honorable mention is just like yours, it's Monster Hunter World. Had a good time, you know, spent a good time on it. I'm not nearly as annoyed about the difficulty in it. My issue is actually the later game content didn't seem as interesting.
Yeah.
That was my thing. Like something that didn't like, I popped in every so often and I played the Final Fantasy stuff and I thought, and the Akuma thing, and I thought they were cool, but I was also like, didn't really care that much. I mean, I think they have something that's coming up pretty soon, but I don't know. So
yeah, I'm glad you said that, because that was my other thing. Like, you're right, the post game stuff or the later expansions, like you said, cool, but nothing that was like, oh my god. Yeah
but, nothing I need to go. But granted, they're like fighting that stupid Final Fantasy thing is like stupidly hard.
Oh man.
But yeah, you're just like the old one.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, that was my honorable mention. I still enjoyed it. Just there's some things that I wish they did a little bit better. I'm going to go in order. Sword of the Sea. That was a game by former That Game Company folks. Literally, it's almost like a combination. If you took, Journey and, pretty much all their things, but you have this crazy sword that you can kind of glide on. And the main point of the game is to bring water back to this area. So it's a really cool game, really nice the design, very sort of, you know, relaxing sort of title. And that game was a PlayStation Plus, launch title on there, you know, for this year. So yeah, that was a good game. I'm still, you know, I still really like that one. My second one is Cosmic Invasion.
Oh, nice.
You know, a little bit weird to sort of, you know, I would say, you know, give it a little time, but I really enjoyed it. A lot of fun playing that game. I wish everybody we could get everybody together and get some game going. Hmm. Everybody done played it all on their own on the side. And
I still got to play it.
Yeah. I'm open if you ever want to during the week we have off, we can kick that game's ass.
Yeah, I'm down. So yeah,
it's a fun game. Love all the characters. Just love the little homages to literally the whole history of like Marvel games. And then obviously, you know, you got some new characters in there, which is, you know, Nova and was it Quasar or Kalavel or something like that? I'm not exactly familiar with that character, but you know, got nice range of characters in there. So it was it's a lot of fun to playing that. And then my top one is actually, theoretically, it's an old game.
Uh-oh.
From last year, but it came out this year on PlayStation. So Indiana Jones.
Oh, nice. Man, that counts.
Yep. So Indiana Jones had a better time than I thought I would have with it. Because, again, you know me, I'm not into first-person shooter, those first-person type games. I can literally count on my finger the games that I specifically played that are first person games. I think BioShock being one of them, and this one. So, and also Doom game from years. But it was a lot of fun. I think, you know, I thought the biggest thing issue that it would have had is like it couldn't capture whatever, you know, doing an Indiana being in an Indiana Jones is. And it definitely felt that way, you know, even if you were in the first person mode. So they did a really great job. It's weird how the game is also more like physical oriented than most first person games. Like you know, granted you have your guns and stuff like that, and you, as long as you get them, but it's like, you know, they run out of bullets and you can just, you know, throw them at somebody or just knock somebody out with it. You know, it just keeps the action rolling. It's like, okay. Just like Indiana Jones, it's like he doesn't constantly stay there shooting with his revolver. He runs out of bullets and he'll just slap some somebody out of the head. And then all the goofy things that you could hit people with, you know, you have like, it's like, oh, a pan or like a rolling pin, a brick, you know, all kinds of different things. Like fly swatter, which you get a trophy for. So it's like all these sorts of things. I still haven't played the DLC, which I bought on a sale recently. So, hopefully, I mean, I'm sure it'll be pretty good. So, that's my favorite game.
Good stuff. Brian, what about you? What are your favorite games that you played? And, you know, you do get the special caveat that they don't have to be from this year.
I honestly love that caveat because it's me. But I actually did quite well. There's only one game in my list that's not from this year, which I think is a big improvement. And ironically, it's number two on the list. So number three is Chronos the New Dawn. No one else spoke about that game because I don't think anyone else played it. I know that Chris was excited for it, and I guess I'm happy to tell you it's basically Polish Dead Space, but I guess it's not in space. Okay. So yeah, it is good fun. It's not as great as Dead Space is, but it's still just a good Dead Space. I guess you can say it's like, what was that, like Dark Souls with the robots that Brett liked?
Oh, The Surge?
Yes, yeah. It's kind of like The Surge type thing. Again, it's not as great as a Souls game, but it does a good enough job that it's scratched that itch. Number two is... I have to get into that. Yeah, definitely worth it, I think. Again, it's Polish Dead Space. Simple as. Number two is Little Nightmares 2. I actually just got around playing this and got platinum last night, I think it is. I don't know why I waited so long to play this game. I was a fan of the first one. This was free on PSN. And yeah, it's just more Little Nightmares, which is fantastic. And also, I got to try the demo for the Reanimal, the studio's new game, which is just Little Nightmares, but in 3D. So, even more fun. Number one is Monster Hunter Wilds.
Ooh.
Yes. Unlike Tony, I stayed in for the long haul, and it gets a lot harder. As Manny knows, if he's tried to fight the Final Fantasy boss. Manny, did you complete it and unlock the other one, or did you just...
I just could never get past it. At least my character is only just on the cusp of being good enough to essentially do it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I still haven't really fought it, and I have not. I know what the other one is, but yes, I haven't done it.
All right, yeah, because the other one is harder still, and it's just that one is chaos, and I love it. And yes, there is a new update. I think that dropped either today or yesterday, so like 18th, 17th, 16th time frame. And again, I don't know much about that since I'm going in blind, but yeah, I do agree with Tony. Like, the start of the game was just too easy. Yeah, it had problems.
And shout out to the podcast.
You know,
he's talking.
Yeah, he is. I don't know why he's talking. Yeah. It was a bit easy, but I think there was enough new things in there that I still enjoyed it for what it was. And I'm eager to see what they do with the expansion and how the gameplay changes. And that's number one. Are we doing our disappointments?
We're getting to those when we do our favorite games. Did you have a honorable mention by any chance?
Not well. Technically, Final Fantasy 15. I know, that's a weird one. I enjoyed it the first time round, and then I marinated, and then I didn't enjoy it. And then I enjoyed it a second time round, and I marinated it on some more, and I slightly enjoyed it less. So it was kind of ups and downs, but I do appreciate that they tried something with this game. And I really would have loved to see what they could have done if they were given the time and, yeah, ironically, the money that they needed to actually finish it, because it does have some really lovely ideas, and it's just a shame that the game is like 80% done, and yeah, again, it's just a shame.
I hear you. All right, Carlos, favorite games of the year?
So I'll start with the honorable mention. I'll give two honorable mentions. Number one, Ninja Gaiden Ragebound. Like, for everyone that played the game and mentioned, there's a lot of good stuff about it. It's hard as hell. I still haven't played Shinobi. I wonder, you know, for those that played both, I wonder which one's harder, because this Ragebound is can get pretty crazy at times.
I'm going to say Ragebound is harder. Just because Shinobi, you get these crazy combos that if you do them right, you can kind of like lock enemies in and they can't do shit. Yeah, Ragebound is pretty fucking hard. I think it's harder, yeah.
But yeah, it's great, man. The way, you know, all the set pieces, everything they do with that game, the music, great, great game. Number two, and you know, maybe this one, you know, retroactively can rise up the ranks. But at this point in time, it's a honorable mention. I'm actually surprised that it wasn't mentioned by one certain person.
Oh,
and no, I'm not talking about you, Manny. Death Stranding 2.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about the reason it, why, but, you know, yeah. Go ahead.
The reason why it's honorable mention is because I haven't finished it yet.
Okay.
Maybe it would have been higher up if I finished it, but can't really give it that props until I beat it. Yeah, that's my two honorable mentions. For my third place, I'll give it to Monster Hunter Wilds. It's still, you know, in its DNA, it's still Monster Hunter Worlds in a way, in a sense. And we did have a lot of fun when we played it. That's where we found out that the voice of God is a huge fan of Salvador Ganache.
Salvador Ganache.
Salvador Ganache. That's the first Monster Hunter we actually got to play with Brian.
We played World before a little bit.
It was a little bit, but this one from the start.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool because, you know, he was the guide of that game.
The Manjoma Tours.
It was the Manjoma Tours. The only thing that's, and Tony mentioned this, something was wrong with the difficulty. I don't know what it was. It was just too easy. It made the fights not as interesting. because we, you know, we did get into some fights that were really tough, and you know, we did die, and it made us think, and it made us, you know, actually try to strategize to defeat. So
I still remember, and this is, you specifically said this, we're fighting, you know, the final boss of the game, right? And we're getting fucked up. You specifically said, why did the rest of the game feel like this? That was like, it stuck with me because I'm like, yes, exactly. Why didn't the rest of the game give me this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I wish the whole game did that. Unfortunately, it couldn't live up to Monster Hunter World, because, I mean, Monster Hunter World in its own right is an incredible game.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to put it at third place. Second place, got to give it. It's been mentioned multiple times. Well, I think only once, but multiple times, you know, someone in the chat posted this. Donkey Kong Bonanza, man.
There you go.
Like Tony mentioned, you go up and down. You can go from the highest level to the lowest level at any time. The way that they did the maps, the way that, you know, the collectibles, the mechanics to dig. Like, you'll spend hours in that game just digging, like, nonsensically. Like, you don't have a direction. You're just digging because you love digging and you want to find out what you can find out.
Yeah.
It's a great game, man. My hat's off to Nintendo for releasing this, because you know, Donkey Kong hasn't been Donkey Kong Freeze was a pretty decent game, but you know, nothing like this. Definitely, you know, it definitely deserved the Nintendo stamp of approval if it still had it. Number one, Tony's gonna be up, you know, gonna roll his eyes because you know, it's winning again.
It won our game with your awards now, I guess.
It's Clair Obscur, Expedition 33. Clair Obscur, da 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 Obscur. I gotta say this. It's getting all the love, you know, in the game awards and then people putting it in the list. It sure as hell deserved it, man, in my opinion. It's a great game. It's the first sort of like Western pseudo JRPG I've ever played. I don't think there's ever been a game like this where, you know, someone that's not a Japanese studio made this type of game. And they did the whole thing with the responsive combat where you can, you know, parry or dodge, which adds a huge adds a different dimension to it, and it makes it feel more, you know, more of an action game, you know, as part of the JRPG aspect. And the story is great. The traversal is great. A lot of the set pieces are great. They just hit it on all levels, man. I gotta give them credit. You know, 33 people in a dog. Hmm. I can't wait to see what, you know, they come up with next. Hopefully, you know, it doesn't even have to be the Expedition 33 again or from that same world, but maybe the same concept, but just in a different story. So yeah, man, gotta give them credit for what they did. This is a huge achievement for that studio and their first freaking game. Expedition is my favorite game of the year.
Nice. All right, and last but not least, Rich, what are your top three games of the year and an honorable mention or two?
All right, first and foremost, this has been some phenomenal picks by all of the gentlemen on this panel. Now, this is where this particular list is going to be a little controversial.
So here we go.
Give a bit of a warning, okay? And we're going to start right off with the honorable mention that this is going to no doubt upset Carlos. My honorable mention is Clair Obscur Expedition 33. The reason why it is an honorable mention is because the reason why is because I haven't finished the game yet.
Uh-oh.
You know, it's the game that I've played more than enough to know that I want to finish the game. Obviously, I also believe it deserved all those awards that it won. I just haven't had a chance to play this because when this game came out, I believe I was at GDC. I've been doing a lot of traveling between GDC, PAX, all these events throughout the year, and then all, of course, I'm getting sent all these games to review. So I haven't had a chance to go back to it yet, but I will get back to it because January is going to be a pretty slow month. So I'm looking forward to that. But yes, it definitely deserves all the awards. So I wanted to at least mention, yeah, I do think it deserves to, at least for me right now, be an honorable mention. A second honorable mention is another game that I enjoyed a lot. I still need to finish this game as well. It is Kazan the Last Berserker.
Oh, because shit, that came out this year. I forgot about that.
Absolutely. This game came out, once again, this is a game that came out in March. And like I mentioned, GDC is in March. You know, I was at GDC when this game came out, and I had a chance to get into it. The game is awesome. You know, it's a game where obviously, and I will admit, what drew me to this game is because they were advertising it as a hardcore ARPG. I wanted to know why the hell did they call it a hardcore ARPG? And that's because, yeah, it's some of those boss battles are tough, but it's similar to any game. Once you get used to the fighting and the boss patterns, you can pretty much figure it out. But yeah, that was a phenomenal game. I need to finish that too. But again, good enough to at least get the honorable mention nod. So yes, I will say that. Now, let's get into the top three. Number three, I have to give it to Absalom.
Oh.
This is the game by Dotemu. It was their version of a RPG, but it's also a beat-em-up game. And, of course, it has some of the roguelike elements in it. And like I said before in a lot of the videos I've made, I wasn't really sure if I was going to like that game because the roguelike element, that's why I was like, oh, why is this in the game? But once I played it and I actually reviewed it, I said, oh, yeah, this game, it just feels like it's something that's totally different from what they have done. Not to mention the fact that they actually are making an animated series about this game. Also, they have a whole rollout plan for how they plan to really move forward. And this is Dotemu's first official project that's an original game. So that's why I say, yeah, I definitely, like I said, I encourage a lot of people to check it out. See if they what they think about the game. But no doubt about it, Dotemu has had a phenomenal 2025 between Ninja Ragebound, this, and, you know, Cosmic Invasion. Yes, these guys, yeah, outstanding job. So that's number three. Number two, this is kind of tough. Shinobi Art of Vengeance. Okay. Oh. I have the same thing as with Tony with Ragebound, because I really, really loved Ragebound. That was phenomenal. The reason why I put Shinobi above it, however, is because, man, the art style of that game, absolutely phenomenal. And I do agree with the comments that were made earlier. The combat is easy. But as you get deeper into that game, the platforming, as you get deeper into that game, that will kick your ass. Yeah, that platforming, towards the couple of those stages towards the end, is crazy. But yeah, that was a phenomenal game. I think that Lizard Cube did an outstanding job. I do want to see what they do next. And I'm looking forward to seeing what other games Sega intends to, you know, do revivals for. And number one, this is going to be very controversial. This is going to go against every rule and throw down history as far as what shouldn't be on the list. I got to put it on the list, man. Final Fantasy Tactics.
Oh, nice.
That game for me, because number one, I never played the original game. Okay. I never played the original game. One other thing that people may not know about me is growing up, one game I really liked to play was chess. This game gave me that type of vibe, the way you have to control the characters and you want to try to make sure that nothing happens to your king. You know, you got to take care of Ramza, you know.
Yeah.
You got to take care of the important characters. So, this game was phenomenal. And again, for me, the voice acting is what pushed it over. I was already cool with the art style, but the fact that they added the actors and actresses into it, that really elevated it to another level. So, yeah, I have to put that as number one. I know it is a remaster, remake, whatever, but listen, I didn't play the original, so I think it's fair to say, okay, yeah, it's a new experience for me.
Yeah, I'm going to say you're a braver man than me, you know. but yeah, no, the game is brilliant, man. But I'm in the same boat. Like, but actually not exactly, because I tried to play it. Like, I did the first act. But, you know, the game was very brutal, the original one. the new one is a little bit more lenient. That's why I was able to get into it. But yeah, no, it's a great game, man. And, you know, yeah, it's good stuff. All right, let's get to the fun stuff here. Biggest disappointments, or were you going to stick with one big disappointment? I'll start first. I'm going to be honest. When I came in here, I was talking to Manny. I'm like, hey, I don't have a game. Like, I don't know. Like, I mostly played good games. But thankfully, Chris mentioned it, so I'm going to. Biggest disappointment for me was fucking Elden Ring Night Rain, man. I played the closed beta of that shit. It didn't give me what I wanted. It did not give me that feel. You know, it literally was Fortnite, bro. Like, that sense of... And here's the thing. I know it's a different type of game. I get that. But to me, I like this sense of exploration with these FromSoft games. And this shit was just like, rush through everything, get to the middle, fight the boss, you know? Rinse and repeat. Fucking boring, man. Super disappointing. And because of that, I know they have, I think it's called Dusk Bloods coming out, which is the same type of deal for Switch. I'm like, I'm good, bro. I'm skipping that. I never would have thought I'd be saying that with Elden Ring, you know, FromSoft game, but... I'm not gonna say huge disappointment, but very disappointing. Absolutely, you know, like what are we doing here, guys? All right, Brian, I know you said you wanted to jump into disappointment, so go right ahead.
Ooh, fun one. So, my biggest disappointment, it has the word strand in it.
Uh oh, yeah,
but it's not that game. It's not the game that came up with the word strand in it.
The strand.
No, it was called Eternal Strands. It was a game that came out in January, so incredibly early on. It was made by ex-BioWare developers, and it seemed to have elements of Monster Hunter and Shadow of the Colossus, and it seemed interesting. It was the one where the woman froze the dragon's wing, and then the dragon fell out of the sky. So I was really excited, because then it meant that it was very physics-based. So the enemies would react to the fire, react to the water, react to the ice. And I thought, okay, that'll be great, be fantastic. And then I played it, and it was just kind of boring.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I'm not surprised that game has come and gone. I'm sure the studio probably isn't around anymore, but yeah, that was a really big disappointment. I had decent hopes for it, and they went down.
That's a shame. Mandy, did you play anything disappointing?
No. I mean, again, I haven't played a whole lot of the new things these days. But yeah, it was. I mean, the closest thing that comes to disappointment is the Monster Hunter game, but I still liked it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the same boat. All right, Carlos, what about you? I don't know if he's around. I'll go over to Rich. Rich, what was their biggest disappointment of the year?
Man, that's very tough. Very, very tough. Played a whole bunch of things. I want to say, come back to me. Give me 1 second. I need to think about this a little bit further, because...
Yeah, that's fair enough. Carlos, are you back? He's still muted. Sometimes, you got to understand, guys, sometimes Carlos is always on call, so sometimes you got to do work. Chris, what about you? What was your biggest disappointment of the year?
Oh, it was Night Rain. It was. I mean, I know I give it a mention because I love Elden Ring, and there was things in that game that it had such potential there. But the fucking mechanic, yeah. And what pissed me off so much was I was trying to because the game doesn't work like Souls, where you would discover a weapon or you get it forged or whatever. You find shit. You'll find chests or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm going somewhere to get a chest. Here comes the blue flame wall. Rushing at you, and you can't outrun it. I don't have my spirit steed yet, or spirit bird, or whatever. So it just catches you. Boom, I'm dead. Right? That happens so many times. I'm just like, God, I can't even, like, go out and find a freaking weapon. You just have to keep, like Tony said, keep pushing to the center of the boss. And it's like, I just want a freaking sword that isn't the default one. You know? I know. That it just annoyed the shit out of me. And I realized, like, I think... I'm just pissed at myself because I didn't know. I just expected it to be a little more like Elden Ring, and it was not at all. Like, just a skin over a Battle Royale game. And that's where...
Yeah, that's a good point, because I thought about them. I should be blaming myself, you know, for expecting more from this game than I should have, even though I knew what kind of game it was, you know? But although Chris, to our credit, though, initially when they announced it, we were like, oh shit, this is crazy. It wasn't until afterwards we found out what it was, you know?
Yeah. I still gave it a chance. Still put money in it. Like, and like you said,
yeah.
Like, I will not be touching Dust Bloods. There's no way.
No. Nope. I'm good. Fool me once, right? Oh, man. All right. Carlos, are you back?
Oh, I just got back.
Okay, yeah. Biggest disappointment of the year.
So, I'm going to cheat a little bit, and I'm going to piggyback off of one of the answers. I didn't play the game, so that's why I'm cheating. But it's Night Rain, man.
Yeah,
like Chris said.
Like I said too, you know.
Oh, you said that.
That was my biggest disappointment, man.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, in order for it to disappoint, you had to have some level of expectations for at least the studio making the game, let alone the game. And I mean, one of the worst things they did is put Elden Ring in the title.
Yeah,
it's like don't put Elden Ring. Don't besearch the classic that is Elden Ring in this. I don't know. Did Miyazaki approve this? What was going on?
I don't know, man.
It's ridiculous, man. When I first saw, like you guys mentioned, when the trailer first came out, I lost my freaking mind.
Yeah,
I was going crazy. I thought Shadow of the Erdtree was the last thing that they were gonna release from this. It's like, oh, we got another one. We got another, rubbing my hands like freaking Birdman. And it wasn't that. Pretty soon after that, we were like, oh no, something doesn't make sense. Well, they're running pretty fast. The world is looking like it's closing down. Oh no, bit of why. And by the time it released, for me, it was like dead giveaway. No, don't touch this. I know Brett wanted to play with someone. And Chris, you know, got it. So, you know, there's a little slight temptations, like maybe it's actually the peak version of what this genre can do. But my instincts, taught me better and said, no, don't get this. And I didn't. So, but yeah, this was definitely the biggest disappointment because it shouldn't have been what this is. They should have just done another DLC and, probably win game of the year off of that.
Yeah, but no, it's super disappointing, man. It's like that Matrix meme, you know? Not like this. Not like this. Oh, man. Rich, did you want to say something?
Yes, I do want to say something. Okay, I have two. Okay, I had to go back, and now I remember now, yes. One of these I did try out, and I will never, ever go back to playing that game again. So let's start with that one. Mind's Eye, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I forgot about that trash.
Yeah, and let me just admit, because I did go to the IO Interactive had an event during Summer Game Fest right before that. That was their little presentation where they talked about Bond, they talked about Hitman, and this game was also there. So I saw a lot of the game, and I was curious because I saw it was already getting horrible reviews, and of course, yeah, that makes sense because the game was not finished. Now, the devs are still updating this game regularly to try to get it to become a better game, but it's not going to reach it, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to reach it. I tried the game out, and it does have some issues. I wanted to support it, but no, we can't do that. So that's one. The other game is a game that I did play. It's a game that I reviewed. This is FBC Firebreak.
Oh, this shit, is that the game. Fuck.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is the multiplayer game that Remedy worked on. Obviously, this is their first time making a multiplayer game. Like, and it's also takes place within the Control environment, the same setting. The concept of the game, to me, is good. I mean, but the thing about it is that it gets old very quickly. You know, when you go through the different waves of the different stages afterwards, it doesn't really feel like there's a lot of incentive to come back to the game afterwards, unless you are trying to get all types of trophies for doing different types of activities and stuff like that. But overall, it was disappointing. I remember when I played it during the testing period, there was a lot of people that was online. I was able to play with others, but it's just like a lot of connection issues very early on. I haven't gone back to the game, so I don't really know if it's more stable now. I know they continuously have been working on the game, so I imagine it's in a better state now. But I will say, yes, I enjoyed the fact that they tried to do something different from a different concept. But these guys, they need to stick to the single player games because apparently that is what they're best at. That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah, no, you're not alone with that one. A lot of people are very disappointed by that one. But you know, we will have Control too. So
yes, that, absolutely.
Yeah, that'll help you with that.
Or Dylan May Cry.
Yes. Funny, man. All right, and then the last segment before we wrap up this episode. What are we looking forward to 2026? So I'm going to just leave this one open. Just feel free to jump in, you know. But for me, you know, I'm just going to stick with games for this one. Resident Evil 9, you know, that's going to be very, very cool. I'm also looking forward to Dragon Quest VII. Never played the original, but I did enjoy the demo I played at a Square Enix event during Comic-Con. And even though I'm still slightly trepidatious about it, I will definitely be checking out GTA 6 to see, you know, maybe they didn't fuck it up. You know, we'll see what happens. But the big one for me is definitely Resident Evil 9. As far as industry trends go, I hope we don't see more price hikes, but we'll see. I mostly just think about games because everything else kind of depresses me about this industry, you know. More layoffs, more price hikes, more acquisitions, all this bullshit, you know. But we got some good games coming, you know. But yeah, like I said, you know, feel free to jump in with what you want to see in 2026.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what how GTA 6 comes out because I think I think, you know, at this point I think it is going to release when it's announced. It like something catastrophic has to happen in order for that to not happen, but we'll see. But yeah, hopefully it's something that can galvanize us more than divides us, because you know that's usually how games are now these days, and they're, you know.
Man,
but, you know, but I mean, every year we get
you're
something.
You're so right, though. That's what I'm saying, bro. You're so right about that.
Yes, I mean, every year we get something that, you know, does the heart good. And this year, you know, we had Expedition and Donkey Kong. You know, we had Elden Ring, then Baldur's Gate. Other years, so hopefully, you know, if it's not GTA 6, hopefully it's something else. And yeah, like you mentioned, Tony, the price hikes. You know, Chris just, you know, put on the tinfoil hat and said that Nintendo's going to raise the price for the Switch too, which is quite a possibility because
I agree.
Their stock is running out and they're going to need new stock. They need to manufacture even more Switches. So it's a high possibility. And I don't know. I feel like everyone said, oh, you know, 2026 is going to be the crazy year because everything's getting delayed to it.
We've been saying that every fucking year. Yeah, we say that every fucking year.
So let's see what releases next year that was promised to Halo on PlayStation.
Okay.
That's going to be interesting. Yeah, hopefully it's better than this year, even though this year I got to give this year props, man. This year was a pretty decent year.
Yeah, I played more games this year than I have in previous years. So there's that, even though some of these games are not going to be like memorable, I at least played more and most of them were more good than not, you know. By the way, real quick, I want to read some of the chat here. So Jeffrey says he's looking forward to, I'm surprised I didn't bring this up. I should have, because when this was announced, I was like, excuse me? Marvel Tokon, that's going to be cool, man. I really enjoyed the betas for that smooth fighting game. He says GTA 6 and he's cheating a little bit. The Terminator 2D game, even though it just came out. He's looking forward to playing that 2026. I'm going to try to sneak that in before the year's out because that looks great. And then LogicWin says, I'm looking forward to 007, the James Bond game, Exodus, and Yakuza Kiwami 3. Good choices.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you, Rich? What are you looking forward to next year?
Oh, yeah. Those are some great choices. By the way, I will say this. Yeah, you need to play that Terminator game. That game is fucking awesome. That's all I'll say. I got a couple. Phantom Blade Zero, obviously. Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to Lego Batman, because I know you recommended that game.
Yeah. It's a fun. Yeah, it's fun, man. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Of course, I'm also looking forward to Crimson Desert, because this game has been delayed a couple of times. You know, every time I see it, I see how ambitious all the stuff they're adding to the game. So, yeah, I want to check that out. And the last two that I will mention, Mouse PI for hire, because I saw this game and it surprisingly, this is coming out. I think in March. March is a very stacked month. Yeah, but that's coming out in March. And lastly, Invincible Versus.
Oh yes.
So Marvel Tokon is great. This Invincible game, however, I'm very interested in seeing where they take this game. So yeah, looking forward to all of that.
Good stuff. By the way, Barry Burton over here trolling. He goes, he's looking forward to Everwild, Perfect Dark, Scalebound, StarCraft Ghost, and Agent.
You never know.
Yeah, yeah. You listen, it may happen, right?
Is it Wolverine supposed to come out next year?
Oh shit. That's right. Yeah, we forgot about that one. You know, well,
A Bub,
you know. Logic Wins likes your choices, Rich. So there you go.
Awesome.
Yeah, anybody else? What are you looking forward to, man?
Tokon. Control Resonant, and I guess Wolverine. That'll be mine.
Oh, that's a good one. No one's looking forward to Heternal. Well,
I didn't like it the first time around.
I think the first game was good. Not as enthused for this one, just because I feel like my expectations for Control originally were higher than what I got, even though the game is still decent. But you never know.
Yeah, Phantom Blade Zero, Jeffrey said. Go ahead, Rich.
Let me just say, I am looking forward to that game, but I'm also looking forward to seeing people crash out online when they can't beat bosses.
Oh, shit. Because
that was the fun thing about Returnal. When I see people online unable to get past the stage, they just get very angry and they rage quit. So I look forward to seeing a lot of that. So,
no, I will freely admit I do not have the skills or the patience for Returnal. You know, I sunk 20 hours into that game. I couldn't make it past the second level. So that lets you know what's up. Well, I tapped out after, I think I got to the, I did get to the third level. I got to the third level. Bro, I'm not kidding you. I played that shit for 2 hours straight, didn't die, got to the boss, and I only had a sliver of health. That thing just looked at me and I fucking died. I'm like, okay, I'm done. You know, all the way back to the beginning. Fucking bullshit, man. Chris, what about you? Anything you're looking forward to next year?
Yeah, Resident Evil 9.
You already know. Platinum is already coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I'm playing the shit out of that. I'm looking forward to that. I am looking forward to GTA 6. I'm a little apprehensive, but I do want to play it. I really want it to be good. God, don't fuck it up. I do want to play it. Yeah, those two, for sure. I don't have to wait long. RE9 is February, February, so it's coming soon.
Coming. Brian, what about you?
And there's a lot of...
Do you go next?
Carlos?
Yeah, go ahead, Carlos. You finish your point, bro.
Just real quick, and, you know, according to the Game Awards, there's like 1,000 games coming out at like around that March, April time frame. But let's see how that suits out.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat where it seems like next year, February, March is incredibly stacked. But the biggest one is Crimson Desert, purely because there's just so much stuff in that game, and it seems to be extremely expansive. To the point where I'm starting to have doubts whether it's even going to be as good as it looks.
Damn.
Because, I don't know, I'm just getting like Watchdog vibes from it, you know, where it just seemed a bit too good to be true. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see about that, man. But, yeah, that's going to be it, man. The last Thursday show of the year in the books. But we do have one more for the year, and that is our annual AMA special, where we have you guys ask us non-gaming questions. It's always a fun show. So we're going to lift the restrictors off a little bit. 3 questions per everybody. It's going to be a long one. Get creative with your questions, you know. Ask us about pop culture, life, finances, fucking metaphysical shit, whatever you want, you know. No gaming, no hardware.
Astrophysics.
Astrophysics, let's go. Oh, man, yeah, thank you, Logic Wiz. I'm glad you enjoyed the show, man. And we'll do our final shouts out of the year during that time, you know, because we could do it now, but then we'd be repeating ourselves, you know. But yeah, good stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's plug some stuff. Man, you got anything?
Blood and Thunder still coming. So number 8, I think, is next. Is 8 should be out this month, so 9 should be out in the early in next year. So that's a cover by Kari Randolph and I, so that'll be there. Also coming next year is the TMNT Battle Nexus Extravaganza, and we have an issue that Kari and I did the covers for, which is and the artist behind TMNT 2012. So it's a versus cover with the 03 characters and then the 12 characters. So that's actually coming out, I think, in February. So that's issue 5 or something like that. So, yeah, stay tuned.
All right. And Rich was coming up on the Coalition this weekend.
Yeah, so quick shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. He has been covering the Fallout show. So make sure you check out the TV Terminal YouTube as well as the website. Adam is currently under the weather, so We do hope that he feels better. It's that time of the year. As for the Coalition, I did a review for Marvel Cosmic Invasion. It's currently on the Coalition Gaming channel right now. So if you do want to see and hear more of my thoughts about the game, check that out. And pretty much, yeah, I'm working on a couple of different things, but this is going to be stuff that you'll see much later getting into the new year. Because, again, I think everybody is taking a well-deserved break over the next 2 weeks. But stay tuned. There's a lot of good stuff in the works.
All right. That's what's up. All right, man. So I start wrapping up. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Hit the like and all that. Comment the good stuff. Join the Discord. Shout out to the Discord gang, as always. You guys are hilarious and informative, which is a good combo. And of course, you can find us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Later, people.
All right, guys, we're back on Sunday. Get those AMA questions in now. Later.
Later.